Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationships. How is your mother-daughter relationship? If you're not living your best mother and daughter relationship, welcome to the show. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Now, here's your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, or you can just call her Dr. Bessie.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio, Mothers and Daughters at the Round Table, talking to mothers and daughters around the world. I'm your host, Dr. Bessie, here on Saturday morning. What a wonderful, wonderful day it is to be alive, to know that we have another opportunity to serve the Lord. And with that being said, Father God, we thank you this morning for an exciting day. Thank you for giving us another opportunity to travel this journey, to discover who you are and who you are in us. Father God, I ask you to bless mothers and daughters around the world, that as we travel and talk and have conversations together, that we be enlightened and that we learn more and more about you and what you would have us to do. I ask you to bless mothers and daughters, but also when you bless mothers and daughters, it penetrates into the entire family, blessing the father and the son. Father, we thank you, and we appreciate you. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, we have an exciting show. Like I said, always, we get up on Saturday mornings, and I thank you for taking this journey with me. I could not do it without you. I cannot have a conversation by myself, and so God will touch the hearts and the minds of individuals and have them to call in, to listen. Some will be touched and will share their feelings. However, I know that you're there. I can feel your spirit, and when I go to the switchboard later on, I can see that you're there, and I appreciate you. As I said, this is our sixth year. We're still on this journey. Don't know quite where I'm going. I have my eyes closed, and I'm just moving. I'm being led, and sometimes, you know, as we do, we can get impatient, and we think it's not going as fast as we think it should go, or it's not doing what we think it should do, or does anyone know that we out here doing this? You know, I went through all of that to realize it really doesn't matter, because I'm doing it because the Lord asked me to do it. And if one person is on the line, I am so grateful, because God set me straight a long time ago. He said, you're never alone. You always got three people with you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and you, we make four, and we can travel this journey together. It doesn't matter. Who I want to hear it will hear it. So when I found that piece many years ago, it made it very easy for me to get up on Saturday mornings, because I don't own myself. I work for a higher power. And doing that, I don't make the decisions. I used to try to make the decisions, and I see where that got me. So now, you know, patience. Be still and know that I am God. And once you do that, you will get better results much quicker. You know, but when we start trying to drive and be the navigator, we don't know where we're going. So therefore, if you don't know what's ahead of you, how can you make a decision for the next second without consulting God, who knows it all? He knows where you're going, why you're going, who you're going to meet as you travel on this journey. So after a few bumps, bruises, and just
some big hiccups in the middle of the road for me in my life, I just had to settle myself down because I'm like, well, Bessie, you've tried everything you can, and, you know, you're not getting anywhere, so where are you going? And I stopped and asked God, and God was like, I'm the only one know where I'm sending you. And sometimes I believe that when we get so into doing it ourselves, I just think I can imagine this is what in my mind and my heart, I just imagine God just stopping and just looking at me. Okay, I'll let you go ahead because I did say you have the ability to choose. So if you've chosen, I'll let you go ahead and do what you do. And then when you finish, then you'll come back. It's like the prodigal son. He made a choice. He went out. He explored. And he realized he had to come back to the Father. But when he came back to the Father, he came back very humble, saying, I will take whatever you have as long as I could just be in the midst. I could just work for you because I know I will be fed. He realized nothing was better than being at home and being at the Father, Father's house, and being able to know that he was free and he could eat. So when I listen to that story and I think about that story, you know, it brought me back to my consciousness of it's all about what God wants. Father, please forgive me. I'm returning home. I'm returning to you to direct my path. No, it may not be going like I think, but what do I know? I'm going to trust you. And from that, God has led us to many different things. We've done a lot of mother and daughter events. Those were definitely some journeys. And I look back at it and say, well, you know, did I make those choices? Was I led to do those things? You know, we can always question it. But when I did that be still and know that I'm God about 8 months ago, and said, you know what, Lord, I'm just going to stop. It seems like I'm just going around in circles. I'm going to stop. Tell me what to do. A few weeks later, the Lord was talking to me about mother and daughter health and reminded me of the mothers and daughters that come into my office for the audience. I am a Christian clinical psychologist, and I have an open practice, and they would come in there and the hurt to see a 30-year-old daughter crying, and her mother's, you know, in the late 50s. And I'm saying this because I've seen it a number of times, crying and hurting because she wants to get past what happened to her when she was a teenager, refusing to have any children because she and her mother can't get along. So now she's experiencing obesity, you know, just eating, and because she's hurting when she's by herself, she's eating more than she should. She can't get on with her career, feels like she didn't get the right piece of the pie of life within the family, that her brother's got a better piece or more than she's gotten. And I'm speaking about a young lady that was the only girl with two boys, and the mother was doing the very best that she thought she could do, professional. So she thought, well, I'll just allow them to go off and to specialty school. But our children don't understand that. All they know is that I need to have my mother and my father, but I need to have my mother, especially girls, to help me to direct my path. She needs to be the person that is my role model. And when God reminded me of several different stories, I look back and I see that they were all about health. Health, depression. Several of them depressed because they were fighting an intro conversation in their head that was wearing down the functions of their organs, later to discover that they had an illness, all coming from the lack of love that they think that they should have gotten, or in their mind they feel like they've been abandoned by their mother, or the mother being abandoned by the daughter. It works both ways. And even though you are moving around, speaking to each other, there is a mental abandonment that takes place. You may see each other, but are you really connecting? Are you really having those honest conversations? Are you really getting to the heart of the matter? What level is your mother and daughter relationship on? Where are you if you measure it from 1 to 10? Think about it. Excuse me. So I'm saying all that to say, today we have a guest, Patricia Peretti. Trish Peretti. And she's going to come on today. I met her at the Mother and Daughter Health Fair. Her story was so strong that it captured the attention of so many people in the audience, because it came from a place of prayer. So you don't want to miss the show today. You want to call your friends and family, mother and daughter friends, all the women you know, because all women are daughters, and tell them to call 347-539-5078 to listen. And if you have a question for Trish, then you might want to click 1, or a question for me, and I'll get to you as soon as we get to the switchboard. We're on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Bessie, here at the Roundtable with mothers and daughters from around the world. And our stimulating topic this morning is the effect of a daughter's health in 9 days. That's right, the effect of a daughter's health in 9 days. If you want to reach me, you can reach me at drbessie1@gmail.com. That's drbessie1@gmail.com. Just to give you a little highlight on the Mother and Daughter Health Fair, it was excellent. And as you know, we are still singing the praises because I'm still getting the comments. Everybody's on board. Everybody's like, let me know when the next one is coming. I'm talking about the doctors and the students and the participants that were in the house for the first Mother and Daughter Health Fair, and that was January 21st, 2015. The next is April, the next will be August, and the next will be December. I will give you exact dates next Saturday. I just need to clear it with the school to make sure that we are set before I give out an actual date. The effect of a daughter's health in 9 days. Interesting. You don't want to miss it. You want to hold on for that, and then I want to thank my co-host, Cynthia Oliver, for being with me. I haven't gone to the switchboard. And Frida Hunter, I think she's on there too as well. And our guest, Trish. I'll get to you, Trish, in just a little bit. I want you to sit back, relax, get your cup of coffee. Just write down anything, any thoughts that you have, and then we'll get to our guest and then allow you to tap into her world and her journey. What an interesting journey. Last week, our stimulating topic was the appreciation of mother and daughter health. When we talked about appreciation, and that's one thing I can say about our guest, I hear her say that so much, how appreciative she is. And last week, we talked about that, being appreciative, you know, and what is appreciation? It's something that we approve of. It's something that we admire. It's something that we enjoy. It's something that brings us pleasure. And when we understand what that something or someone is, we become grateful. You know, we are appreciative of God for allowing us to get up every day. I mean, how many people do you know that was here last year that's not here today? Even if you don't even know them, you hear it on the news, their life on this earth is no longer. But for some reason, God decided that you would be here today. And we want to be appreciative of that. You know, no matter what's going on in our life, I don't care. It's not looking the way that you want it to look. It's not doing what you think it should do. you don't know God's plan for your life. But you do know he gave you an opportunity today. Because you're listening to the radio program, you're up moving around, and I know you're appreciative of that. So that brings us to our stimulating topic today, the effects of a daughter's health in 9 days. And Trish Peretti is a certified insulin trainer. She's an RN. And Trish, you might have to help me with this when I get to you. It's her letters on the back of her name is RNBSNCDE. I know she's an educator. She goes around. She's a motivational speaker. She talks to individuals and groups about diabetes and insulin intake. Now, we know it's important, and we know how important diabetes are, and especially its counterpart, insulin, to keep us alive and healthy. That is a key element to the diabetes family. I'm not an expert on diabetes, don't claim to be. Learned a lot from the event last week, but Trish is. So I want to start with our stimulating topic, and I want to look at just the words that came into my heart this morning, because I was trying to figure out what is it that we should be talking about, even though I know we had a guest. You know, you have to have a topic for today. And I kind of went around and I prayed and I said, well, God, what is it that you want me to say? You know, and I thought of a couple things, but then I thought, well, I don't want to say that because I don't want it to be misunderstood. So God said, the effect of a daughter's health in 9 days. 9 days. When we pray, all we would love to have our prayers, all of us would love to have our prayers answered in 9 days. But after hearing Trish's prayer request and the answer she got in 9 days, it makes you want to think before you pray. You know, they always say, be careful what you ask for. You know, that goes right back because we don't know what's ahead of us. But when we ask God, what's our purpose, or to lead and guide us, you probably won't get what you think you should get or get it the way that you think you should get it. Because God says, my ways are not your ways. And sometimes that journey takes us in a place where we have no idea that we'd end up there. So with that being said, I'm going to go straight to the switchboard. And I'm going to talk to our guests. And let me see, can I open it up here? Good morning, Trish. How are you?
Good morning, Dr. Bessie. I am wonderful, and I'm very honored to be with you this morning.
Oh, I'm honored to have you. I tell you, your story has been like a little buzz after the effect of the health fair. They are interested, and people are talking about it because you came from a place where individuals did not, I mean, especially the students, you could see the look on their face when you started talking about your prayer and the fact that you went to your mother and you asked your mother, you know, what should I do? But I'm not going to tell you a story. Kind of go back and tell the audience, how did you get to the 9 days as a bartender?
I may use that as the title for my new book. But the story is that I was a very successful bartender. I made a lot of money, and I was a single mom, so in a small amount of time, I was making a lot of money, so I could be with my kids in the daytime, and life seemed okay. My health was good. Life was good. But I went to my mom, and I told her that, you know, all the drinking and the alcohol, that bartending was not a very spiritual profession, and she said, Patricia, say that magic prayer I taught you. And I come from a very Italian background, and there was a magic prayer called a novena. And if you say this prayer with a heartfelt intention, and as you place your intention before God, if it's meant to be and it's God's will, your prayer will be answered on this magical ninth day. So every day I said the prayer, and I prayed for a new direction in my life. I wanted more. I felt that, you know, we're supposed to be of service, and I was in a service industry, but one that sent people out on the road, potentially, you know, to harm themselves or others. So my mom and her advice, she gave me her old worn-out novena book, and my novena. And on the ninth day, I woke up blind. And I just didn't really know what to do. I called in sick to work. I walked to the Eye Institute. They examined my eyes, and they said, diabetes could do this. You need to go to an emergency room. And so I was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. And at that moment, I said, I am not going to pray anymore. And I was very upset. I was shocked. I was angry. I was healthy. I was thin. I was young. And I just could not wrap my head around what they were telling me, that I would have to put a needle into my body. I said, I am not that kind of girl. Well, as they began to give me the insulin, I began to get my vision back. And on the day I woke up and I could see again, I got down on my knees in my hospital room, in my hospital gown, and I said, I'm never going to ask for anything again, because if I ask for rain, I know I'm going to get mud. But I am just going to say thank you. Thank you, thank you. I don't know why I'm saying thank you, but this is what you're giving me, and I've got to accept it. So I dove into the world of diabetes, and I mean, there's type 1, there's type 2, but I was a bartender. I didn't know if there were 31 types, you know, like Baskin-Robbins. I didn't know. So I began to study, and I began to read medical books. And I had friends in nursing school, and they said, why don't you go to nursing school? And so I applied to a nursing school, and there was no room at the inn, but I was persistent. And they put me on a waiting list, and I just kept calling and calling and calling. And one day I got the call from the college that I wasn't the first on the list, but I was the most persistent. And again, I feel it was divine intervention, because I was not at the top of the list. But they put me into nursing school, and I became a nurse. And as I said at the conference, Dr. Bessie, I did go to my mom, and I was so excited. And I said, Mom, I am going to nursing school. I am going to help people and become a nurse. She said, Patricia, you cannot even clean a chicken. This is ridiculous. So she wasn't initially supportive. But as I made it through nursing school, you know, she, of course, became very proud. And I have to say, that little bit of doubt she had just gave me more motivation. And then from there, I went on to become, that's my fax. I'm a busy girl. The fax are coming in. I'm on the other phone. I hope it'll stop. It stopped. And so then I dove into the world of diabetes, because even in nursing school, there was just a lack of education. The physicians don't know what to do with us. We are a puzzle. So what I found is that people with diabetes need education. And so I needed 2,000 teaching hours to even sit for the exam. And there was yet another challenge. But I think if God's on your side, the doors just open. And if you're on the right path, the obstacles are removed. So, I mean, I can remember having to go into anatomy and physiology. And the night before, I was on my knees crying. And I said, God, I don't even love cats, but I really don't want one in formaldehyde that I have to dissect. And again, I said, please, I need a miracle, Lord. I need a miracle. And I walked into that lab, and I was white as milk. I'm a white girl. Anyway, and then they broke us into partners. And my lab partner was Peter Magliocca, and he saw that I was about to faint because we had to open this bag and start to cut open this cat. And he looked at me and he said, Tricia, I used to be a butcher. I got this. Well, Dr. Bessie, I couldn't have come up with that prayer. I couldn't have said, dear God, give me a butcher. But when you just believe and you just have faith, your answers to your prayers come in the most incredible ways. So I made it through nursing school. I never touched that cat because Peter did it for me. And that was just another example, just a silly example, of how if our heart is in it and our path is the true path, we will get our answers. And so now I am a certified diabetes educator, and I do think I help people, educate them. My population is people that are type 1. We use insulin. We don't make insulin, so we have to give ourselves needles. I'm very involved with the children because they are the biggest population with this. And I'm a part of a camp for children with diabetes, little plug for Camp Carl Kids. And I spoke at the end of camp, and the message I gave that I'd like to give this morning is that for people who have diabetes, it's not a death sentence, but it will take you piece by piece. So you have to fight back. And you can't walk around and say, why me? Why me? Well, because frankly, why not? Why not me? And yes, I'm special, but why can't I have this? So as a very young, very thin, very healthy girl, I had to battle a chronic disease, which I've had for 25 years. And, well, actually 23. But I don't complain to the best of my ability because I have an attitude of gratitude. I asked for a direction. I got a direction. It was never something I would have ever, ever, ever chosen. And again, God's way is not my way, apparently. So I am just, you know, on the path now of spreading the word that, yes, it's challenging, but it can be. You can fight this disease. Not mine. I have type 1. The best we can do is take our insulin. But as I said to the children, if it was 1921, insulin didn't even exist, so we simply died. So it's 2015. We have ways to be well. We have so many opportunities to be healthy. And people with type 2 diabetes, they have a bigger challenge because they don't have to take a needle, so they don't think they have it so bad. That's what I keep hearing. Oh, well, I don't have it so bad. I just have a touch of sugar. The truth of the matter is type 2 diabetes is an epidemic. It's at epidemic proportion. And if I could influence that in any way, shape, or form, anybody listening, you put on your sneakers and you go take a walk. If you live in a part of the world where it's freezing, go to the mall and walk for 30 minutes. Just don't, you know, stop and shop. Just keep walking. And if you just put one foot in front of the other every day, you don't have to sign up for a gym. You don't have to work out with weights. But if you just move, activity is our friend. And people that make insulin use it better when they move. I do yoga, and it's not cardio, and it's, you know, I'm not Madonna, but I can say that it makes me feel good in body, in mind, and in spirit, and it connects all three. And I am a yoga teacher, and I signed up for yoga teacher training with about 10 women. And at the end of the curriculum, all of our bodies were transformed. None of us did it to lose weight. But when we were finished, our bodies were so healthy, so whole, that we were shining with our health. So again, it's not about how do we look? Do we look like a model? It's about today deciding that if you have type 2 diabetes, you can fight back. That is actually something that you, if you work hard enough, you can reverse that. And if my wish would be one, it's that everybody realize that any minute, why me? Why not me? And you know, when it hits close to home, I know that when I speak, wherever I speak, after I'm finished, everyone comes up to say, my mother has diabetes, my brother, my father, my sister, my cousin. Everybody knows somebody. And so we must change. It's no different than when we started to realize that those cool cigarettes were killing us. This eating gigantic portions and incorrect foods are going to kill us and they're going to destroy our health system. So we all, as a culture, as we are all connected. And anybody thinks we're not connected needs to get back to prayer, because we are all one. And what I do affects you, and what you do affects me, and we affect each other. And if we truly believe, whether it's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, or John, Paul, George, and Ringo, we're supposed to love one another. And that has to start with loving ourselves. So I am not a food expert. All I know is that the people that I do see are feeding an empty hole. It's not really about the food. So I'm not a psychologist. I think people need to get to the heart of the matter, which is, what hole are you filling with the food? And I'm kind of detached from food. I've never been overweight a day in my life. That's not my thing. But I have a disease. So I do have to pay attention. But it doesn't rule me. It's not my, you know, I would say diabetes is a spoke in the wheel of my life. But when I meet with people, it's the hub. It's the center. And if I would like to communicate anything, it's that I am not a diabetic. I am a person with diabetes, and it's just one more label, you know. And so many people say that, doctors, nurses, healthcare professionals, they label us, and it's a sort of prejudice. I don't like it. So I'm encouraging people to say, my mother has diabetes, or my sister has diabetes, not they are a diabetic. Because it's almost like a label that then we hook onto, and it has to be let go. It's only one little part of who I am. Like, I'm a mother, like I'm a grandmother, like I'm a teacher, I'm a nurse. I'm many, many things, and not one of those define me. The most important thing is, I'm a child of God, and I am just grateful that I woke up today, because when I put my head on the pillow, I go through my gratitude list. And when I wake up, I go through my gratitude list. And before my feet hit that ground, I say, thanks, God, I woke up today. Thank you for my life. And I probably exceeded my 5 minutes, Dr. Bessie.
That's okay. You had me hooked. I'm hooked, and I can see the audience is hooked too. I am so grateful that you are here today. I am learning so much, and I know the audience is as well. You know, diabetes is something I didn't realize that I had an interest in diabetes until we did the health fair. For the audience, they don't know how amazing the health fair was, the effects of it. Your story was sort of like, it just sort of brought it all full circle, because the main topic for this particular health fair was diabetes. And as I went through telling the story about my mother and looking at her journey, I think I told that before you came on, and I got very emotional, and something hit me. This is your cause. And I'm thinking, wow. And then when you came on and said that, I prayed and asked my mother, and your mother gave you, what is it, novena?
Yes, prayer? It's a little Italian prayer. It's an Italian thing.
Well, you know what?
It's a Catholic Italian thing.
And it's amazing. You know, we go to our mother for advice, and she said it would work, and it did work. It just wasn't what you expected, but it was the best thing that could ever happen to you, from what you're saying, as far as helping people. We all have our journeys, and sometimes you put me on track with what I'm doing, because sometimes I would say, Lord, you asked me to do mothers and daughters, and because it wasn't going the way that I think it should go, you know, I would get a little discouraged, but I wouldn't stop. You know, I've never stopped. I have varied off some, but when things didn't go, God would show me that's not where I'm sending you. Now I don't do anything but mother and daughter, because that's the focus, that's where my meter is, that's where I'm supposed to help. So I want to ask you a question. Now, there's an insulin piece that you were talking about. Let's just skip with that. The insulin, you said you have a monitor on you.
I wear an insulin pump. I wear an insulin pump. So basically, Dr. Bessie, it's a delivery system. So instead of, eating and having to have a shot of insulin, I push buttons. And then every 3 days, I need to move it. So it's a little tiny plastic piece that's in my belly, and I move it, you know, every 3 days. And it delivers insulin. Like right now, I'm getting insulin every 3 minutes, and I'm not eating. But we need insulin to breathe, which people don't even understand. In order to function, we need insulin. So when a person with type 1 diabetes stops making insulin, you can't take it in a pill. The stomach will not accept it. When you have type 2 diabetes, you take pills, but those pills are not insulin. Those pills are to make your cells let the insulin that you make be more effective. And you know what else does that? Exercise does the very same thing. So that's what I'm saying. If you exercise, that's almost the same action of insulin. So people with type 2 diabetes often are challenged by having to lose weight. And the minute you get a diagnosis of type 2, you're in shock. I mean, whether it's type 1 or type 2, it's a shock. It's a chronic disease. You have to live with it. It's not a death sentence, but you have to deal with it. And many people just don't deal with it because they feel okay. They get enough insulin, so they walk around with very elevated blood sugars, but they don't feel sick. And over time, those high blood sugars are what damages our kidneys, our heart, our eyes, our legs. So it is ignoring it that gets us into the most trouble. So many, many people go to the doctor and they hear, oh, your blood sugar's elevated. Let's start by having you lose some weight. And there's a very small percent of people that really take that advice. So again, just like they told us to stop smoking, and we all sort of, you know, little by little as a culture realize the wrongness of it, that's going to happen with obesity, because it's not about how good we look or how attractive we are. It's about how healthy we are. Because you know what, it's a cliche, but it's so true that when you have your health, you have everything. I mean, all the money in the world can't really buy me a pancreas. Really, I can't go buy one. But my insulin pump is my little pancreas. So until there's a cure, I wear an insulin pump.
Well, you know, for the month of December, we have up into the health fair, we were doing my mother's health. Is her wealth to her, no, the mother's health is her wealth to her daughter. And that's what we have been talking about. No matter how much money you have, when something happens to your health, you don't even think about those little pieces of paper and the things that you have to call. None of that matter, because what you have and your attention is on, you cannot buy that with money. You got to go to God. You got to go to the maker. That's the only person that can help you with that, because he created it. Okay, so now I'm going to open this up, Trish, just a little bit here. Let's go with anybody want to ask Trish a question, just click 1. Let's see who we have here. And I'm going to leave Trish on so that she can hear, or I'll just click back to her. Let's see. Cynthia?
Good morning. How are you, Dr. Fletcher?
I'm fine. How you doing?
I'm awesome. I'm here working at Florida Technical College this morning, but I'm listening to the show, and Trish said a mouthful and a mountain full. And we have a part in this. We have a part to take in our health and a part in being appreciative of what God allows us. And some of the things that you said was like one of my colleagues and I, we were just saying how appreciative we must be for what God allows. Yes, and those labels that she mentioned, oh, my God, I am not my disease. I'm just someone with diabetes. And she gave me, like, labels, in which that is one of my biggest pet peeves with diagnoses, that we become our diagnoses. We are not our diagnosis, because the Heavenly Father is able. And when we do our part, as Chris said so eloquently, we can live this thing out with whatever God allows us to have. and diabetes is just one more thing that he allows us to, in order that we can be appreciative of every day of health that he allows us. And our mothers and daughters, our health is definitely our wealth.
Okay.
Yes, it's interesting. This is definitely God is. It's. I tell him, I said, God, you are something else. You really led us down a path, and then he gave us the hook, and the hook is mother and daughter health and the effects of it. So I thank you for participating this morning. I know you're at the school. Let's see, put Trish back on. Trish, do you have anything you want to say? Did you have a question for Trish, Cynthia?
Trish said it all. I have nothing to ask Trish. Trish put it out there, and we just have a part to do with that. So, no, and whatever God allows. Trish puts it very candidly that we just need to do our part in order that we are not taken out by the very diseases that we are diagnosed with. So, yeah, she said it all. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. What I would like to add is that, you know, I started exercising, Trish, and I was doing every day, and then I got caught up in the health fair and said, you know, I do it every other day or whatever, I'd go at night because there is a gym right here where I am at. And after I heard your story, I said, you know what, if that's what it takes, exercise, then we don't need to wait until someone tells us we have diabetes to start the exercise. Let's start it now. Because if it's insulin-driven, see, I didn't know that. Then if it's insulin-driven, then I need to be doing this every day so that I can avoid the doctors telling me this is what I need to do.
That's exactly the bottom line. That's the bottom line, to be proactive with our own health and not to wait for, you know, for the horrible diagnosis. And honestly, I don't want to get too nurse-like, but it's I don't want to sound like a nutritionist, but there's only three food groups.
God puts on your heart. Somebody's not here to hear it. Say whatever God says, whatever you want to say, you're free to say here.
Well, there's only three food groups. There's protein, there's fat, and there's carbohydrates. And we need all of them. But people go on crazy fad diets. They go on, you know, Atkins, where they just eat protein. And basically, we are supposed to have portion control and have a little bit of all of it. Now, if I eat a piece of chicken or a steak, that's protein, and the body doesn't require insulin. It's really the carbohydrates that we need insulin for. Even fat, butter, mayonnaise, that does not require insulin. So when I wear an insulin pump, I match insulin to carbohydrates. So if I sit down to a salad with shrimp or chicken or turkey, I mean, I don't touch my insulin pump because the lettuce doesn't need insulin, the turkey, the protein doesn't need insulin. So the carbohydrates are anything at all on a food label that says total carbohydrates, they break down to sugar. Sugar and carbohydrates are synonyms. They are almost identical in molecular structure. So when you eat an apple, that breaks down to sugar. It's a carbohydrate. Even a vegetable is a carbohydrate. So the idea is to be aware of what we're putting in our body. I mean, basically, we know what's good for us and what's maybe not good for us. But, you know, people will say, like, they'll see me with maybe a cookie, and they'll say, oh, you're cheating. Well, honestly, cheating is like what Bill Clinton did with Monica Lewinsky. I eat. I don't cheat. And when you have the mindset that you're cheating, I think it sets you up for failure. We deserve to have pleasure. We deserve to enjoy. I'm not saying don't enjoy, but I think the attitude of shame and guilt is another obstacle along the way to weight loss, because people are ashamed and they feel guilty, and it snowballs into this big, big deal. So again, if you just start with, thank God I have this body, and stop looking at everything that's wrong with it, start seeing everything that's right with it. It's a transition. You start to change. You re-language. and you start to realize that I am perfect in this moment with or without exercise because God doesn't make junk, but I sure could make it a little better. So if you start from a place of I'm fine and perfect the way I am, and let's see if today, hey, if I exercise by simply walking my dog for 30 minutes, the dog's going to feel better, I'm going to feel better. And if I could tell you all the benefits of exercise, if we could put it in a pill, we would all take it every morning. I mean, it's ridiculous how good it is for us. If I don't go to yoga, if I miss 2 or 3 days in a row, I'm a little edgy. I can feel it. So our body wants that from us. Our ancestors were so physical. They always moved. And we need to do that. Our children need to do that. We have type 2 diabetes in children for the first time in history. Something has to be done for our kids. They have got to be helped. Or we're going to have a nation of children that are going to have old bodies.
Wow.
And it's just not okay. It's not okay. So I'm a new advocate. I'm a new advocate of exercise, Dr. Bessie. I've been thin my whole life. So I would go to the doctor and he'd say, and what do you do for exercise? And I'd say, my genes look great. What do I have to exercise? And he would say, and I'd say, I'm active. I never sit still. And he'd say, no, but your heart needs you to do this. So even though my genes fit and even though I'm not trying to lose weight, it makes me feel better. It makes my demeanor better. It makes my personality lighter. And, you know, it's not that terrible to just go out and take a walk. I mean, we're blessed. We live in Florida. And again, when I live north, that would be my excuse. It's cold. I can't go out. You can exercise in your bedroom with a DVD on. You really can. So it's a commitment. It's no different than any other commitment. It's a commitment, and you have to say, I want to feel good. It's an easy commitment.
And this whole health fair, the effects of it, audience, you can feel it from our conversation based on motivating. I know people are motivated. I know that they have learned some things this morning that they was not aware of. And I'll tell you one thing. I used to run and says, okay, when I get ready to trim down, I said, oh, I'll just eat a bunch of food. And I thought I was doing the right thing until I heard you saying, an apple turned into sugar. And I mean, you know, and I feel bad because, you know, people say, well, but you're a doctor. Oh, but, you know, that don't mean nothing. That means you studied some classes and took some tests and you certified. But to get really serious, you have to go in, like with the health fair, I had to go in and start studying specifically different things. And now I'm educating myself in different areas. I'm being educated, and I'm looking at things that I never looked at before because I was never taught that. I'm a psychologist. I'm dealing with the thoughts, the words, the visions in your head, and how do you see where you want to go and seeing yourself and what God has put inside of you. But when it comes to the food, when you said that, I was like, oh, my goodness, now I got to rethink. Now today you said something else that just triggered something for me. So not tomorrow, not Monday, today I'm going to align myself with making sure not to – exercise when I get it. I'm busy today. I'm on the phone. I'll do it later on and don't do it. That's going to be my priority. Just like you said, I don't get out of the bed until I thank God and have had my communication with him before I put my feet on the ground. And the next thing I'm going to do is get dressed and go and do my exercise. And I'm going to make that.
And you know, honestly, I don't want to be, you know, too pushy with the exercise, but you can simply take 3 10-minute walks. Like, you don't even have to get it all in at once. If you say, you know what, I just had breakfast, I think I'm going to take a nice walk, 10 minutes. And then at the end of that 10 minutes, you like yourself. You feel good about yourself because you know you're doing something that's good for you. And everybody knows it. I mean, everybody knows it. But why don't we do it? You're the psychologist, Dr. Bessie. Why don't we all do it?
Well, I'm going to push it because, you know what, we're not trained to do it. We do. That's why we talk to mothers and daughters, because mothers, we have to take on the initiative in order for our daughters to do it. We've got to learn to make the change. And as young mothers, if they start doing it and the daughters see, well, you know what, my mother got up every morning and after breakfast we got up and we walked, that's what she's going to do with her children. We have got to make the initial change and be the role model as the mother. Now, I know your daughter is probably looking at you and she's picking up on what you're doing, because she's going to take that and then she's going to pass it on to her children. We do what we are taught. And in the meantime, that's why we're having the health fair, in order to retrain our minds and our thoughts so that we can now do something different. You can't do the same thing and look for different results. That I know to be true. So I'm going to
Isn't that the definition of crazy, when you keep doing it and doing it and expect it?
There you go. What's going to happen? No, it's not. If you're getting up every day and you're not exercising and you're expecting something to happen different, it's not going to happen. And we can do it. People say you don't have time. I tell them it's 24 hours in every day, and it's 84,600 seconds in a day. You can choose to rearrange those seconds any way you want to. We sit down and spend hours watching television, but yet we
don't have enough time.
But we'll watch every television show.
It doesn't have to be, Dr. Bessie, it doesn't have to be a gym. It doesn't even have to be a walk. If you decide that you are going to clean out your garage today, I promise you are exercising. If you decide you're going to sweep and mop and vacuum, I promise you you're exercising, because I know that by my blood sugar. When I am active, even if it's, you know, just running up and down the steps, my blood sugar drops. If I am gardening, my blood sugar drops. So all these activities just are all movement. We have to move from inertia, because I think inertia is the enemy. It doesn't even have to be exercise, but that, you know, binge watching Scandal or Downton Abbey or whatever, just think, if we just took 30 minutes away from that and just did something active, it doesn't have to be, you know, high impact. Of course, they want us to, and we're supposed to. If you just move away from inertia, that's the first step.
Mm-hmm.
And God will do the rest. I think if you take a little baby step, God will help you with the rest. I'm a believer.
I'm a believer of that, too. Hold one second. I have another caller. One second. Hello?
Hey, good morning. Good morning, everybody. I'm calling in from Orlando, Florida. This is Frida Hunter, and I'm absolutely enjoying the program.
Well, thank you, Frida. We're talking about one of the things that I know that you do, and you do it with your best friend, Ruben, and you all take very long walks.
Yes,
so
we do.
Do you have a question for Trish?
I do have a question. How does a person know? I know Dr. Bessie was talking about the fruit. And if a person does have had diabetes, how do they know to balance it that they don't oversee that when the fruit, I guess, processes into sugar? Because I remember my grandmother, when I went to go to Philadelphia to care for her, she had diabetes. And the nurse, Kim, she came over and she was talking to us, and I was my grandmother's caregiver at the time. And my grandmother would get so upset with me. She wanted watermelon. She loved watermelon. But the nurse said she could only have X amount of portions. And so if you can just explain, if a person has diabetes, what is the amount that they should have, or does it just, it's different for every person?
Okay, hold one second.
Very specific answer. Am I on? Can you hear me?
Yes, go right ahead, Trish.
Okay, so it's different for women and it's different for men. Women are allotted approximately 150 grams of carbohydrate. And remember, carbohydrate is sugar. So 150 grams means 50 grams at a meal. Now, that doesn't sound like anything you understand, but if today you start to look in your refrigerator and in your kitchen at total carbohydrates, you grab anything and start to look, and you will see the gram value. So I'm going to give you one example. If you have a sandwich and you have it on two pieces of bread, usually a piece of bread is 15 grams. So a bread and a bread, there's 30 grams. You put turkey, zero. You put cheese, zero. You put mayonnaise, zero. You put lettuce, zero. Okay, so all you have so far is 30. Now you want some watermelon. One slice of watermelon is 15 grams. Now you're up to 45 for that meal. Now for men, it's men are allowed to have 180, so they're allowed 60 grams at a meal, you know, to maintain health and weight. So if all you have is fruit, let's say you have three pieces of watermelon, that's 45 grams, you're not really full. So we need the protein, and we need a little bit of fat. It is the fat that lets us know, it tells our brain that we're full. So fat has gotten a bad reputation. Fat doesn't make us fat, and that's probably politically incorrect. Fat doesn't make us gain weight. Carbohydrates make us gain weight. So if you are having three pieces of watermelon, that's 45 grams. So you just you pass on the bread, you pass on the rice, you pass on the pasta at that meal or whatever. So it's a budget. If I show you a scoop of vanilla ice cream, it is 15 grams. If I show you a scoop of mashed potatoes, it's 15 grams. So if at dinner I decide I don't want those mashed potatoes because I think ice cream is soul food, that doesn't make me a bad girl. It means I traded out 15 for potatoes for 15 for ice cream. So sue me. And again, I don't get all caught up in cheating because I love food. We all do. And so look at it as eating, not cheating. And fruit is wonderful. It has fiber. It has vitamin C. It has good things for us. You know, I'm not saying fruit is bad. I'm just pointing out that people go on diets and then they eat buckets of fruit. And I would need a bucket of insulin for a lot of fruit. Even a little glass of orange juice, 4 ounces of orange juice, is 15 grams.
Oh.
So would you rather have 15 grams from a nice slice of bread with some cheese and turkey, or do you just want a half, a little 4 ounce glass of juice? So we make choices. If you have an apple, that's a big apple could be 30 grams. A banana is 30 grams. In a pediatric practice, these children with type 1 diabetes are told they may not have a whole banana. They just may not. It makes their blood sugar go sky high. They can have a half. That's 15. So it's portion control. If you have a piece of meat, it should fit in the palm of your hand. So if you put a burger on your hand, it should fit in the palm of your hand. If you put a piece of chicken, it should fit in the palm, without the fingers. Forget your fingers, just the palm of your hand. And it's portion control. And you know America, everything's biggie, 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 everything. We don't need biggie. We need portion control. And if we're not having a mix of protein and fat and carbohydrate, then we're hungry and we want more carbs, you know? So fruit is wonderful, but not in large amounts. Like, you know, grapes, oh, my gosh. If I sat with grapes, my blood sugar would be through the roof, through the roof.
Well, that's not grapes a bad thing. Frida, I know you need to click one if you want to say something, but I think you went out. I'm not sure if she's there. I know she's there. She can hear, but let's see. We have 60 seconds. I just wanted you to just say something. If you want to say something to Trish before we go, we got to close out. It's been a wonderful show. You have anything you want to add to that?
No, you want to say that question. You answered
Frida.
My question. Hello?
Frida?
Yes, we got disconnected and I called back in.
Okay.
It's moderation,
all right.
Honey. Moderation is the key. Moderation is your friend.
Thank you.
All right, that's our talk for today. I thank Trish for being on. I know it was a help to a lot of people. It was helpful to me. And I'm grateful. Trish and I are going to be working along with Frida and Cynthia. We're going to be doing the health fairs and moving this message on. I'm especially grateful and wanting to look at how you focus in on our children. I think if we get with the children, We're going to create a whole new generation. But thank you for being our guest. God bless you, and I'll talk to you later.
Thank you for having me. God bless you, too. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. That's our show. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. If you'd like to make a love offering to support the show, go to AskDrBessie.com and click on the donate button and show your support. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Make sure to tune in every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, better known as Dr. Bessie. See you next Saturday at 10 a.m. We'll